It's an honor for me to be here with you today, this wonderful day of celebrating the Lord's Day. If you're here and this is your first time, thank you for coming. We'll welcome you later in our service, but we want you to be a part of this, and we pray for the Lord to bless you in a very special way. I'm preaching a message today that I preached a message last Sunday talking about when we walk away from God. Now, we've all have done that on our journey. And the saddest part of Israel's journey, when Samuel was their leader, they was going through tough times last week, and they were having a tough time, and everybody had a king, and everybody had an army, and everybody had all of this, and Israel felt like they were in the desert by themselves. So they came up with this idea. They said, I tell you what, Samuel, we want a king to lead us. We want a king to be over us. And it broke Samuel's heart. Why would you want a king when God Jehovah is taking care of you? He fed you in the desert, manna and quail every day. He took care of you all your journey of your life. He took you out of slavery, and now you want a king? He said, we want a king. We want a king like everybody else. That was the saying. And so God told Samuel, they didn't reject you, Samuel. They rejected me. Go back and tell them, if you take a king, this is what it's going to cost you. Talked about taxes, talked about taking your children, talked about taking your family, what a king does. And last week we learned that Samuel went back to the people and says, now you have a choice. I've told you what the cost is. And the saddest verse in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 8, they said, we'll take the king, and rejected God. So they just walked away from God. Israel walked away from God that day. The suffering they have paid, there's no people group in this world ever paid the price like the Jewish people in our world today. But it started right there. They walked away from God. Now, we've all walked away from God one time or another, but finding our way back is real important. Nobody ever loved you like Jesus. Nobody knows your name and everything about you and still loves you like Jesus. He cares for you, and He wants us to care for Him. Now, I want you to learn to trust God with all your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. I'm going to preach this message out of God's Bible, how to trust Him. But there comes a day when you and I grow up where God can trust us. When He can trust us with His glory, His riches, with His testimonies, with His life, to be an influence in the world we live in. And so God wants us to be His children. We are the light of the world. I don't care if you're Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian, Pentecost. If you are a follower of Christ, we are the army of God. And we are the people of God to bring God to a world that needs to see Him. That's our responsibility. And so today, I want to talk about raising the standards, God's standards in our lives. Raising the standards. Here's the question. Has the church of America and around the world lost its edge when it comes to promoting Jesus? I don't know about you, but I feel that is where we are. I believe we are no longer important as we are. I believe America hopes the White House will pull this off because the church house has sure lost its way. When God designed the kingdom of God, when Jesus came to our earth at Christmas, remember Christmas, Jesus was born, Emmanuel, God with us. Remember that story? Greatest celebration in the world. And then when He came to us, John the Baptist was the leading, the beginning to preach and paving the way for Jesus. And here comes Jesus out of the wilderness. And the first thing He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. My kingdom is at hand. I am here. The kingdom of heaven. Now, God has always asked somebody to mediate His kingdom on earth. The first assignment came to Adam and Eve. They were to mediate His kingdom in the garden, but they blew it. And sin came in. And then all of a sudden, death came to the garden, to Adam and Eve, and sin became a part of our life. And then Abraham came, the patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those patriarchs, God came, and Moses, and He says, we got to get back to mediating the kingdom in this place. Remember Jonah? Remember Noah? When Noah came and the world was so ungodly and so filthy, God just destroyed it all. He doesn't put up with sin. He's a holy God. He's a loving God. He'll die for you. He'll give you everything. But sin, He can't put up with because He died for sin to take care of it. But then the patriarchs come up with 10 commandments. Say, I'll tell you what, we made a deal. It's the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. They made a deal. You keep these 10, and I'll take care of you. They signed a contract. It was a good deal. But yet they found out they couldn't keep the commandment, so they broke the contract. And so now the patriarchs, they couldn't mediate the kingdom. They blew it. And then he sent the prophets to follow the patriarchs in the Bible, Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel and Daniel. And those guys come preaching to mediate the kingdom. And they couldn't mediate it. The people wouldn't listen to them. And then it was silent for 400 years. Nobody spoke a word about God for 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then in the New Testament, Jesus comes on the scene. He comes, he's born. He's burned because God says, I love my people, but I got to have somebody to mediate the kingdom, some way to take care of sin. Because, see, God is holy. We're not. Sin blocks us from getting there. And then his son died on a cross, and he shed blood. There can be no forgiveness of sin without the remission of blood. Back in the Old Testament, they took the bulls and the goats and the calves, and they offered blood up on the sacrifice for sin. There had to be a price for sin. So God says, I'll give the best covenant in the world. I'm going to send my son Jesus. My son Jesus is going to come to the earth. He's going to die. He's going to pay the price for sin. He'll be the last sacrifice. But he says, I'm going to give now the church, the New Testament church, Catholic, Baptist, whatever it may be, we mediate the kingdom. We're it now. They all blew it. We're it. We're the church. We're the people of God. We've been saved by the precious Holy Spirit of Christ. He enters into us. Now he wants us to mediate the kingdom. There will be no others because at this kingdom, when it ends, he's coming back. And then there's going to be a new heaven, new earth. This place is coming to an end. And God's going to make it all brand new one more time. I've had a great morning. I preached at 9 o'clock. And they about half slept on me. Then I went to the nursing home and they clapped when I preached. Ain't that something? Things are different today than what they used to be in church. Went to go to the nursing home to find some vibrations over this morning. Got to preach there, so it's a blessing. Let me just say this. We have two men in our church every Sunday, Phil and Charles. They go to our nursing homes and preach every Sunday at 10 o'clock. Aren't we proud of that? Aren't you glad our church is reaching? Phil is away. So he says, Brother Ron, you're not doing anything at 10. Why don't you go preach over there for me? So I slipped over there, got to preach. So I'm back today, and I'm fired up. And I like to clap every once in a while. If they can do it, you can do it. Amen? They haven't forgot. They're excited. And so we now mediate the kingdom. You got that? We're the ones that God placed here to tell the world we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're it. And he wants us to love people. In the kingdom is a new set of rules, new set of principles. In the kingdom, we love enemies. In the kingdom, we turn the cheek. In the kingdom, we go the extra mile. In the kingdom, we pray for those who despise and forsake us. That's kingdom principles. When the Holy Spirit God comes in our lives, we have the Holy Spirit to enable us to do what we could never do on our own. It's God with us. Amen? He comes into our lives. He saves us. We are the children of God. But now he wants us to mediate his kingdom. But what's happened in our culture and church today, we have lowered the standard and lowered the standard. Man, remember you used to come to church and spend all day and used to have all kinds of revivals and stuff. Now we got it down to 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. If it's over 12:01, nobody's happy. Sunday nights, we're going to stay home and watch 60 Minutes. More lives on 60 Minutes than finding God's house, amen? But just come on back. We have church on Sunday night. It's the Lord's Day. We keep lowering the standards of what it means to worship God. It's across our culture. But the price is being paid because of our standards. The church is losing its position in the kingdom of God to mediate God into a dark world. God loves everybody. He loves us all. Not by performance. He is just love. And if you love out of performance, it's a performance trap because one day who you're loving can't perform enough and you won't make it. You got to love them agape love, just willful love. So, he wants us to mediate, and our church is in position. We are the bearers of what God has. We mediate the kingdom of God. America's dream has become our way. It's surely not God's way. America's dream has become our way. It's not God's way. I'm going to tell you a story because after they said we want a king, the first king was Saul, then they had then David, then Solomon. And today we're going to read about a man named Rehoboam, which is Solomon's son. He followed in the king lineage. And the kingdom has split. The North and South, there was a civil war in America that was probably the most horrible war that we know ever fought, the Civil War. But in Israel, there was a war way before that, and worse than that, it split the whole kingdom of God from the North to the South. And it was two godly men who split it, who fought over stuff they shouldn't be fighting over. Think that sounds familiar? How many Baptists and Catholics and Methodists and Lutherans fought over stuff we got no business fighting over? I mean, people are going to hell. We need to get people in heaven. Amen? And so, see, our standard just keeps lowering. So Rehoboam is our guide today. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12, I want to read in verse 1. How many of you are glad you're here already? Say amen. Now, if I say something you really like, it just means amen. Some of you can't say amen, my people. This means amen, okay? If I really like it, give me a couple of those. Keeps me alive, okay? The nursing home, they did that. They were scratching their head, but I thought it was amen over there, all right? I was having a good time. I got excited. Then I realized I didn't teach them that, all right? Chapter 12, verse 1. Now, it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself. How'd you like to have somebody establish kingdom and make him established? All the peons are out there, but he established himself. Pay attention. When Jesus come, he didn't establish himself. He died and established the kingdom of God. He paid the price. Amen. He was King of kings and Lord of lords. He came humbled, and he come as a servant suffering to die for us. He says, and he forsook the law of God, and all of Israel with him. He kind of just closed his Bible. See, when you walk away from God, let me tell you something. You know the reason why you walked away from God? You closed your Bible before you walked away. Remember what causes us to walk away from God? Storms. Storms and problems in our life creates all kinds of storms and attitudes and hurts. And in that storm, we just walk away from God. If we keep reading our Bible, keep praying, we can have victory in that storm instead of a failure in that storm. You know, you can't sing victory in Jesus without a fight. You can't sing that praise without going through the storm and winning. You and God winning, not you. Now, they're in a storm here, and it says they forsook the law of God. Let me remind you just very quickly, just for a second. That law was the Ten Commandments. Got it? They broke all the commandments. We all have broke the commandments. We're not here. We're sinners. Saved by grace. It's amazing how that works. But let me just remind you of some of the laws that he said. Here's the first law that God commanded in Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord our God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Remember they were praying, there were slaves in Egypt making bricks for Pharaoh? And they were praying, and God says, I'm the God who brought you out of slavery, making bricks. I took you in the desert. I fed you every day, manna and quail. I gave you water. I took care of you. But he says, now you shall have no other gods before me. Because, see, they got out of that. They were no longer slaves, but they were forgetting God. They had other images. They were making golden images. They had other leaders. There's other people. He says, I'm God. I'm God only. And you'll never do anything but worship me. Commandment number one, I will never be two, I'll always be one. God doesn't play second fiddle to no one. That's his first commandment. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any craven images or any likeness, anything that is heaven, above, or earth, in the earth, beneath, or that is the water on the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and children for the third and fourth generation, for those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. So he's serious about him being God and God only. Amen? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. There's people all over this world who think there's other ways to get to heaven besides Jesus. They say they're good people. They're religious people. Let me tell you something. They're sinners, and who's going to take care of their sin? Jesus paid the price for sin. He was a sacrifice. On Calvary, it happened. No one else has paid for sin. How can you go to heaven? Jesus says, I and the Father are one. You got to honor God. There is no other way apart from Jesus. Now, people say, well, you got to be open-minded about that. Let me tell you something. When my doctor gets ready to do surgery on me, I'm not open-minded. I want to make sure he's got a certificate. I hope he's got a good track record. Sometimes I'm just closed-minded when I want to be right, don't you? Jesus is the only way. Now, if you think there's another way, how could that other way work to a holy God without sin being atoned for, and Jesus was the atonement? Think about that for a moment. Now, he goes on that commandment, and he says, all his commandments, thou shalt not kill, you know, murder and all those things, you know, four words. Then he comes to worship on the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day? Keep it holy. He spoke 96 words in that commandment. Here's what he says. If you'll worship me, you'll remember me. If you'll worship me, you'll honor me. The day you stop your worship, I'll become number two, number three, number four. I'll just be in the mix. I'm just in the mix. I'm no longer God of your heart. So worship is key. Got it? You can't do away with it. You can try. it doesn't work. Rehoboam's trying. It's not working. Now, Rehoboam thought he was big enough to be God. Here's the problem when you play God. You're never big enough. There's always somebody big enough to whoop you. There's always a circumstance to take you down, right? So when you start playing God, you think you can do it on your own. You're really in a... I have tried that. Haven't you tried that? Doesn't it hurt a lot? It hurts a lot. He is God. He is the one. So Rehoboam's going through this, and all of Israel follow him. You know, when you get ready to lower a standard, isn't it easy for people just to lower a standard, just jump in, let's just quit a little bit? Everybody just wants a lower standard. Just make it easy on us. Well, in verse 2, and it happened in the fifth year of the king Rehoboam, that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they were trespassed against the Lord. The king of Egypt sent up Shishak. Shishak had a big army. Read in verse 3. With 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen, people without number who came with him out of Egypt to Lubin and Shukim and the Ethiopians. And he took and fortified the cities of Judah and came to Jerusalem. Now, he's right outside of Rehoboam's gate. Here he is, this guy named Shishak. And you know who put him in charge? God did. God said, Shishak, I need for you to go up there and whip my children real good. They forgot me. They left me. They made me second and third. They don't honor me no more. And God, I'm going to humble them. And so Rehoboam had heard how this guy was cleaning the house. Here's what happens in verse 5. And Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah and were gathered together in Jerusalem because of Shishak and said to them, Thus saith the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore I also have left you in the hand of Shishak. So the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves. Chew and crow. You know what? I've ate crow so many times in my life, I almost like it. I've got used to crow. I have done so many stupid things in my life. Can we say amen to that? Not mine, yours too, okay? And so, he's humbled himself. You know what humbled himself? The fear of God. You let somebody start beating down your house out there, you let the evil begin to take you, and all of a sudden you'll start looking something bigger and better. So Shishak says, humbled himself and said, The Lord is righteous. Amen. Love the Lord. Praise God. Let's pray together. He got religion. Ain't that the way it happens? Let me tell you something. God will never punish his children, but he will discipline his children. There's a big difference. Discipline is out of the love of God, and punishment is out of the anger of God. And so he brought them down, and they humbled themselves, and they began to ask God for the blessings of their life. Now it says, And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came into Shema, saying, They have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. My wrath shall be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. So, he got a little reprieve. Shishak's not going to burn down your house, but he's going to mess with you. He's going to take your gold. He's going to take your bank accounts. He's going to take all your stuff. He's going to take all that pretty stuff. You know why? All that pretty stuff made him turn away from God. You know, it says, right on your dollar, in God we trust. But I bet most folks trust the dollar more than they trust God because they don't even talk to God. They work for the dollar. Think about that. So Shishak has been humbled, and he says, I'm not going to take you out, but I'm going to discipline you. I'm going to take your stuff. You know what? You know why we get loose, church? Stuff. Keep it up. Trying to have fun. Pleasure. You know, when you walk with Jesus, I guarantee you it's the most gratifying part of your life. Nothing has ever blessed me like Jesus. Nothing. Walk in a hospital room and be praying for a person and all of a sudden God heals them. Let me tell you something. When God shows up, it's the most beautiful time in my life. When God works in my life, when he helps me through the storms of my life, when he forgives me my sin, what a Savior. I don't deserve that. It's called grace. It's called Jesus on the cross. He paid for it. All we got to do is humble ourselves. You know, the hardest part you'll have today is humbling yourself because you're in a room of people, and it's pretty to be humble in a room of people. But they humble themselves. Here's what happens. In verse 9, So Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up into Jerusalem and took away their treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and took away everything and also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. There was gold shields. I read about these gold shields. I don't know how many hundreds of pounds they were, pure gold. He had these shields in the temple. The temple was talking about the purity and the golden of God and the strength of God. And he says they took the golden shields. that Solomon had made. Solomon was the richest guy in the world. Let me tell you, nobody's ever been rich like Solomon. Bill Gates would be a pauper next to Solomon in wealth. He had it all. He had that temple laid out. Solomon built that temple. Here comes Shai Shane. You know what he did? He took the gold out. He took all the stuff out. Took all the beautiful statues, all the reminders of God, what God did through Solomon. And then in verse 10, and there, in their place, King Rehoboam made bronze shields. Now I want you to remember this. When you lower a standard, you can see it. No longer gold, it's bronze. You know the difference between bronze and gold? Gold is a pure metal. Bronze is an alloy. Gold shines. That other metal just dulls. It just gets dull. One is tempered and strong. The other is weak and cheap. So now they're going to the house of God to worship bronze and no longer gold. Let me tell you something. When America loses its standards with God, we'll polish the bronze. We'll never see the gold. We just polish it. We lost our gold. When we lower our standards, when we lower our standards, we lose so much. Today, if I have time, I will try to go to Hardin County. I'm a chaplain there, and I go in and preach to those guys and gals. Kenny Knowles is here today. He's one of those guys from Franklin. He goes there every Sunday. He's in there. He needs to be in there every Sunday. And we go and preach, teach those guys. Here's what they tell me. If they wouldn't lower their standards, they wouldn't be in that jail. When you lower your standards, you're going to go on a path that you don't want to be on. When you lower your standards and begin to walk away from God, it'll take you where you don't want to go. Sin is a lie. The devil will promise you everything, and he will curse you the days of your life. It's a tragedy when we lower the standards of God in the house of God. We all want it our way. We all want it over with quick. We want to give him an hour and be done. God wants your life. He wants your days. I ask those people in nursing home, when you get old, you lose a lot. You lose your teeth, you lose your hair, you lose a lot of stuff. But don't lose your faith. Don't lose your faith in God. Pray to him every day. This one lady says, my boy hasn't been in church in years. What can I do, Brother Ron? What can I do? I said, pray. She says, I don't know how to pray. And I went over there and I knelt down and we prayed. And we prayed for her boy to get in jail. And she hugged my neck. She said, I believe that's going to work. Oh, it'll work. You just got to pray. Amen. So see what happens when you lower your standards. You don't know what works or don't work. You're just doing the best you can do. But let me tell you something. In the book of Judges, the last verse in that book, it says every man did what was right according to his own eyes. It's not your eyes you do what's right. It's the eyes of God that makes us do right. And so here they are polishing the brass. And all the thing in their life is coming apart. See, when we rose our standards, you know who pays the price for big people's sin? Children. Children pay the price for big people's sin. How many of our children today would love to have their parents a little higher standard so they could be blessed and know about God and love God, learn how to pray to God, learn how to talk to God? I wonder what that means in their life. I thank God I grew up in a Christian home where I heard him preach and prayed and blessings and Bible studies at our home. I didn't realize how important that was. What's an R-rated movie to kids 12, 13, 14 years age? It's nothing. It's on every phone. I mean, all the suffering that goes, all the sin that's running rampant in our world today because we lowered the standards of God in the church, not the White House. God never designed the White House to bless His people. It's the church house to bless His people. We mediate His kingdom. We're it. But we want the White House to do it. They want to make America great. Let me tell you something. Until we make God a great, we won't have an America. It's God that made America what it is, not the White House. It's God. Aren't you glad He's blessed us? Aren't you glad He's taking care of us? Aren't you glad on our dollar it says in God we trust, even though we don't trust Him at all anymore, hardly? Thank God for a God who's brought us here. But all those things mean a lot to us. You know, in the jail I go into, probably 90% of them is all caught up in alcohol and drugs. Alcohol and drugs is their immediate problem. But their biggest problem is they walked away from God. And I talked to most of those guys and gals in there. I believe they're born again. They tell me they were saved. They just walked away from God. And when you walk away from God, you're on your own. And then they got into drugs and alcohol. They had a party. They got caught. And all of a sudden, they're caught in that snare. They got labeling now. They got all this junk in their life because they lowered a standard and they paid a price. And this one, I preach this message in jail. If I just wouldn't have lowered my standard, if I could have just stayed in church, somehow just stayed in church, I believe I wouldn't be here today, preacher. I said, I believe you wouldn't either. If you could have just walked with the God who loves you more than anybody you ever met. It's so foolish. But the story doesn't end there. God is always bringing redemption. He's got a way. Amen? In 2 Chronicles, over a few chapters, we got a few kings down the road. In chapter 29, Hezekiah became king. Hezekiah is a new king. When he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, his mother's name was Yabiah, and his father's name was Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He was the grandson of David, not Solomon, David. David was a king that loved God with all of his heart. Kingdom honored, David honored God. David had horrible sins, but God's greater than our sins, amen? But David had a heart for God. And this is one of his grandsons, Hezekiah. He remembered granddaddy. I got a granddaddy I remember too. He was a preaching machine. I go down to Missouri and listen to preach revivals. My granddaddy just rocked my house. My granddaddy influenced my life. My granddaddy raised my standards. I hear him preach, I jump up and get my standards up before I got up. Amen? But Hezekiah was one of those guys. This is what he did. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all his father David had done. If you're a child here today and you haven't had a godly family, you don't know what God did. You don't have a clue. You think because you went to church and you learned it, you think your kids know it, but how will they know it unless they go? Think about that. In the fifth year, in the first year of his reign, the king reigned in his first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired it. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square. Remember that? There was a temple sitting there. It was rotten down. And the preachers and the Levites were still there. They were in town, just doing nothing. Probably like preachers, they just doing nothing. It says, and the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing to the Lord, accompanied by loud instruments. And Hezekiah gave encouragement to the Levites and taught them the good knowledge of the Lord. And they, throughout the feast, 7 days, offered peace offerings and made confession to the Lord for their fathers. And the whole assembly agreed to keep the feast another 7 days, and they met another way, 7 days in gladness. And so, all of a sudden, God began to move into his life. I would just read in verse 30. It was in the celebration of the priest. Let me go back to 29 and in verse 5. And said, hear ye, Levites, now sanctify yourself, sanctify the house of the Lord your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from this holy place. For our fathers had trespassed and had forsaken him and turned their faces away from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs on him. They have shut up the doors in the vestibule in the temple and have not burned incense, offerings to the holy place of the God of Israel. Therefore the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he was giving them up to trouble, to astonishment and jeering, as you see with his eyes. For indeed, because this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and their sons and daughters and their wives are in captivity. I wonder how many of our sons and daughters are in captivity of the evil run around us. Let me ask you, sir, who's leading your house? Ma'am, maybe you're a single mom. Who's leading your house? How high is your standards? Because people follow leaders. They followed Rehoboam right to the bottom. Now Hezekiah's following him up. At your house, who is the leader? You designate a leader spiritually in your house to protect it, to pray, to guide, to seek it. Pretty important. Raising standards. don't know how many grandmothers I've talked to that raised their grandchildren because their children's out in the desert somewhere. It's got to be heartbreaking. Raising standards is the way to go. Let me tell you the standards in verse 20. Then King Hezekiah rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, and went up to the house of the Lord. And he brought seven bulls and seven rams and seven rams and seven lambs and seven whole goats for sin offering, for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctity of anywhere in the Judah. And he commanded the priests and the sons of Aaron to offer them offerings to the Lord. Blood's now flowing at the altar in the Old Testament. Blood is now there. You know why there was blood? Because their sins had to be paid for. So they took their best goats, their best bulls, their best sheep. They took it to church, and they cut that throat, and that blood would come down, and it paid for their sins. Today, we don't bring bulls and goats to church. We bring hearts. And Jesus is our sacrifice. We ask Him to wash our sins away. He knows how to do that. Several years ago, I got to go to Russia. When the Iron Wall fell over there, and we got to send people in. I was one of the first ones that got to go to Russia. I was excited. I was in a town called Voronezh. In Voronezh, I was there and had a team, and we were preaching in the church. But I sit down with an old man in his couch one Sunday there in Russia. He says, "Let me tell you something, young preacher. Don't ever forget this. That church you worshipped in today sat empty for 70 years. Khrushchev came to Russia and he destroyed every church he could find. Annihilated them. Tore them down. Communism and atheism ruled. I want you to tell you, one day there was as many churches in Russia as there was America. Do you know that? But here come communism and atheism and Khrushchev and leaders. They destroyed every church. This elderly man said, for some reason they never got our building. But we couldn't go in it. It was all covered wood, nobody been in it. Steeple was about half fallen off. And they had an opportunity about 6 months before I got there, they could open up their church and have church. They were excited. I can't imagine. He said, for 70 years, I tried to tell my children what it used to be like in church, and we'd have church in our house, and we'd do everything we could in our house, but if we got caught, we got through in prison, so we had to go underground. Couldn't even do it publicly. They took God from us. But he said, that day we got to go to church. And so everybody began to volunteer. One's going to take care of the windows. One's going to take care of the steeples. One's going to take care of the roof. Somebody's going to take out and take those old pews. And that whole community just went nuts. They just opened church, just like Hezekiah did. Just like Hezekiah did. Opened that church wide open. And this fellow I was talking to says, I asked for one assignment. I says, what was your assignment? He said, I wanted the sign. I wanted to put back the church sign. There was just a stick standing there. It was all gone. So that was his assignment. So, man, he went to work building the church sign. He was in his 70s. He built a sign. That Sunday morning, he put it up late Saturday night. Sunday morning early, they could hear the bell tower ringing that bell. Can you imagine what it sounded like in that town? Church is open. Can you imagine? Just lose your church. You've been there. You've seen yours blowed away. But they was ringing the bell. And they're all walking to church. Can't you imagine moms and dads taking children never been, and they got together to go to church. Well, there was the church sign right there. He made a big one. It's beautiful. What would that church sign say? Welcome. Jesus saves. Victory in Jesus. Here's what the church sign said. The Lamb wins. The Lamb of God wins. It took on the bear of Russia. And that bear thought he had him down. That bear thought he had him. But the Lamb of God showed up. The Lamb always wins. And we need the Lamb of God where we live and where we worship. The wonderful Lamb of God, He wins. Now I just asked you a question today. Who is the standard bearer at your house? Who's the one that's keeping the God active through the week? Who is the one who is leading the charge? Because, see, the world follows leaders. And where you lead, they'll go. But we need to raise our standards if America is going to be what we want it to be. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. Now, none of us got anything to brag on here today. There's not a one person to stand up and say, I got this message down. We've all failed. We're just sinners saved by grace. But I'm glad the Lamb wins. I'm just tickled to death he wins. I've been back to Russia 4 times, and what I've seen in Russia, what I learned, I met those ladies, their husbands was in prison in Siberia. I went to Siberia prisons just to preach to all those men who were thrown in jail when they were trying to do things for Jesus. I spent 2 weeks preaching in prisons in Russia, just encouraging those men that got thrown into prison because they loved the Lamb of God more than they loved Russia. And when you see that, it just breaks your heart. So I want to just tell the Church of America, we need to raise a standard that's where we live, where we work, because our children need it. And moms and dads, you need it. And grandma and grandpa, you got to have it. Amen? So as we give an invitation today, it's real simple. If you're not where you need to be with Jesus, the only thing that keeps you there is you won't humble yourself. Just your pride. You're afraid that somebody's going to look at you as some weirdo. Let me tell you something. You stand for Jesus. I don't care what they call you. We call you a winner. Amen? We call it victory. So if you're here today and you need a Savior, never been saved, need a church, we've got people who are going to baptize. Sunday night, we've got people join our church on Sunday nights. People getting saved on Sunday nights. We have baptism lined up. You got to be here on Sunday night. It's happening. It's just happening. But if you're here today and you're not where you need to be, just humble yourself. Say, God, here am I. You know what he'll do? He'll receive you and cleanse you by his grace. And you won't have to polish brass. You just get to enjoy the gold. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Now, the reason why we give an invitation in a Baptist church is because whenever Jesus met his disciples, he always says, hey, guys, gals, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. So if you're here today and you'd like to come and pray, we have counselors that will be here with you today and pray with you today. If you're here today and you want to meet Jesus, you need a church home, you need a church family, you're ready to go. God's got great plans for First Baptist Brandenburg and every church in the world. But I want you to raise a standard so we can do it together. Amen? As we sing, would you come and come now?